Today is our Faith in the Workplace series. It's all about living out faith in Christ in our day-to-day workplace. On average, you'll spend nearly a third of your adult life in work. Work in Canary Wharf, and it's probably going to be a fair bit more. We do regular Bible talks here at the Barge, and once a month we like to really get into just workplace topics and workplace things. Today's topic is relating to people. There's a handout there that you might want to follow along with. Our goal here is that we'll each be confident and equipped disciples. We'll be living out our faith in the workplace. So wherever you're at this lunchtime, if you have been a Christian for a really long time, if you've just become a Christian, if you've been in the workplace, in the Wharf for a really, really long time, if you are new to the Wharf, it's great to have you with us, and it's great to be thinking about these things today. I'm aware that there'll be many here and many online who will have way more experience of relating to people in the workplace than I do. So we'll make sure to have some time for Q&A afterwards and to share some thoughts and chat through these things. Wherever you're at this morning, it's likely that at some point in your life, you're going to come across some tricky times. And tricky times are often made even trickier when you encounter tricky people. When you have the difficult people, it can be really, really hard. Relating to people can be difficult. So today we're going to think about what it means to relate to people. We're going to begin just our first point with what it means for Jesus to relate to us, just to establish a bit of what it means for Jesus to relate to us so that we then can see how our faith makes a difference as we relate to people. To begin with, God is our creator. You can see just that point of how does Jesus relate to us. God is our creator. Genesis 1:27 says that we are created in his image. We're given a wonderful and inherent dignity at the very fact that we are human. We are his creations, his creatures. He formed us from the dust. We are the clay to him being the potter. John 1 explains that Jesus was present at this creation. The people that we relate to in our workplace, they have this inherent dignity. They are created. We are sinners and he is our savior, though. Luke describes Jesus saying that he came to seek and to save the lost. That's Luke 19:10. And we're the lost. That's why he came, to reconcile us sinful people, us sinners, people who do wrong, who get it wrong so regularly, who are rubbish at following God and his will for our lives. We're rubbish at it. We sin. We know with confidence, though, that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, as he relates to us as Savior if we have our faith in him. He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It's what Jesus says in John 10:11. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He laid his life down for us, for our sin. Our rebellion against God, it deserved death. And Jesus went there in our place. Christ went to death for us instead. We are saved by his perfect righteousness being given to us and him taking our unrighteousness. We live in light of his resurrection where we follow him. It's an incredibly bright future that we have for him, following the good shepherd. One day we'll be united with him in all eternity, worshipping him face to face. He is the good shepherd. We're his sheep. We are weak and he is strong. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul writes, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. The good news of the gospel is that we are not strong, but that God's grace is sufficient. His power shines through our weakness. It's freeing to remember that we're just jars of clay, Paul describes us as. Our weakness makes him look strong because we don't follow him in our own strength, but he gives us strength. Some quick convictions then on how Jesus relates to us. And that will help us to think about relating to people. I want to start off by emphasizing that relatability is a really good thing. We're often told, and rightly told, as Christians, that the world will hate us. The world won't understand us. The world hated Jesus, and so it will hate his followers. It won't get us. The Bible also helps us, though, navigate the workplace and relating to others. When it tells us things like Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver or gold. It's a good thing here to be well thought of, isn't it? Similarly, Peter charges us to care what outsiders think about Christianity. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. If we don't care how we relate to people, how can we possibly believe Jesus when he says, "So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you"? For this sums up the law and the prophets. He says that in Matthew 7:11. If we don't care how we live and how we relate to people, then we're not living as if it matters what people think of Jesus. It's the question we want to ask ourselves. Do we live as if it matters what people think of Jesus? But there's a warning here as well, isn't there? The Bible warns us against being over-relatable. For example, Jesus warned us, "Woe to you when all men think well of you." It's Luke 6:26. Lyndon B. Johnson was a president of the United States of America. When he was growing up, he had some pretty rude nicknames, particularly going through uni, when he was caught out lying so much. He had so little backbone that he would lie to everyone and just tell them what he thought they wanted to hear, whatever would make him seem favorable to them. It was the same when he was in the House of Representatives, same in the Senate. Every side of the political spectrum thought that he was on their side. Even if he was part of a different party, it was, "Lyndon's one of our guys. Johnson's one of our guys. He's one of the good guys." He'd spent so much time telling people what he thought they wanted to hear that they ended up having no idea what he actually thought or believed. Paul says in Galatians, "Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Paul says that in Galatians 1:10. So we can't follow Christ and not stand for him. We can't follow Jesus and just tell people what they want to hear all the time for the sake of being relatable. There'll be times where we can't be relatable, where we maybe won't be understood. It's good to be relatable, but let's not be over-relatable. Three aspects of relating to people at work that I thought would be helpful for us to just think about. And we can talk more in Q&A about these things in other areas as well. But they might be helpful to just delve into. Servant leading, people pleasing, and dealing with the difficult. There's fantastic advice out there, secular and Christian, on all of these matters. There are brilliant books and articles on these things. So don't take me as the final word on these things, but more as a well-meaning, helpful note on these matters. Let's look at how the gospel helps us to relate, though, in these areas. So servant leading. As a boss or maybe a team leader, what does it mean for you to lead in a way that is informed by the gospel, shaped by the gospel? That verse from Colossians 3:22-24. As a boss, it might be helpful to think about these things. Bondservants, obey in everything those who your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. I think servant leadership is a really helpful term to think about as a boss or a team leader, a manager of people. It doesn't mean being a doormat where everyone walks over you and they wipe your feet for good measure. It means remembering who you work for ultimately. You're working as for the Lord. Jesus said that the Son of Man came to serve and not be served. He bent and washed his disciples' feet. He counted others' interests as more important than his own. Have that shape our leadership, reprioritizing the interests of others over our own. Won't necessarily mean you get walked over, simply that you'll likely stand out as someone who isn't willing to throw another person under the bus to get ahead. And maybe that we care about our employees and team members as a whole people, not simply as someone who'll get a job done for us. Caring for our team members, caring for our employees, their well-being, asking them how they're doing before we correct them, giving them a chance to tell us that their life is falling apart before we tell them off for being late, or showing that we care for them as a person and not simply as a purpose. We want to care for people as servant leaders. You're serving the Lord Christ, and that should help us to be better leaders, better managers than if we weren't. There's a difficulty in this, though, isn't there? Which I'm sure that many experience, not just if we're leaders, not just if we're managers, but when relating in the workplace generally. And that is people pleasing. It can be so easy, can't it, to not be able to say no. So difficult to stand up and to speak out. I remember once saying in a workplace, I don't think that we should speak about that person behind their back. And I just wanted to curl up and shrivel away. And I'm someone who, honestly, doesn't mind conflict. I, if anything, have to stop myself seeking it out. But there was just quite a culture of it in that workplace. There was quite a culture of speaking about people and just very normal thing to do, to be horrible. And it can be hard to speak out, can't it? It's far easier to please people. Ephesians 6 and that previous passage in Colossians will help us. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them. Stop your threatening, knowing that he is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. Don't be people pleasers. Five ways, though, just if you find yourself being a people pleaser, if we find ourselves not really knowing what we're able to what we're going to do when we find ourselves being a people pleaser. The first is redirect the fear. Psalm 96, I think, says, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The Lord who makes the mountains quake, who is holy and righteous and is so much bigger than anyone here on earth. So much bigger. I sometimes struggle a little bit with perfectionism. It can be a little bit paralyzing. I can end up faffing around so long that it ends up that I don't even have time really to do a good job, and it just has to be pragmatic and functional, and it ends up being a little bit sloppy. Perfectionism can be crippling, and perfectionism and people-pleasing, I think, is really similar in that it's too small a view of God. We need a bigger view of God. God is bigger than people. He's bigger than the people I'm trying to please. He's bigger than the task in front of me that I want to be so perfect about. Redirect the fear of man into the fear of God. The second is do what God wants. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4. God's will for your life is that you look more like him. Journey into greater holiness with him. It's that we become more holy. That's God's will for our life. It's really easy to forget that. It's easy to lose focus. It's easy to get distracted. And if people-pleasing is something that we struggle with, we might want to take some time regularly, just popping an alarm on our phone to notify us what's God's will for our life, so that we look more holy. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewal of your mind, so we look more like him. 3, sincerity versus superficiality. Lyndon B. Johnson was so good at faking sincerity that people genuinely didn't know that he was being superficial with them. He would just say what he thought they wanted to hear, doing what he thought they wanted him to do. It was only when it was too late that they would realize that he's completely voted the wrong way and stabbed them in the back, and he's been completely superficial with them. There'll come a point where if we try to please everybody, we'll end up being superficial. We'll end up pleasing nobody. Pleasing everybody leads to superficiality. We can't please everybody. It's far better to be sincere, I think. It's better for us to be real, to be genuine. And our bosses that way probably won't feel as let down. Colleagues maybe won't feel double-crossed. You prove yourself to be more reliable. I think a sincere no will probably go down better than a superficial yes. We're instructed, aren't we, to let our yeses be yeses and our noes be noes in Matthew 5. Don't pay lip service then. And public versus private. What are we like in private? Does it match up with who we are in public? It's really disappointing maybe in a job interview if you get on well with the boss, you think you're going to be a good fit there. It seems like it's actually quite a happy place to work maybe. But the public face in that interview is just a mask, and actually it's a disaster of a job for you, and it's a nightmare workplace. Publicly different and to what the private reality is. Maybe we are different publicly to who we are privately. Privately, we may not want to be a people pleaser, and when it comes to being in public, we can't help ourselves. Or maybe publicly, we talk a good talk, but when it comes to no one watching us, we just never follow through. It's not working as if we're working for the Lord, isn't it? And 5, just keep in mind the heavenly goal. Keep in mind the heavenly goal. We are children of the living God. And Jesus is talking about giving to those in need. He says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. We strive towards a higher goal. And what is done in secret is still seen by God. Let's line up our public and our private lives. There's just 5 quick ways to reorientate ourselves away from people-pleasing as we relate to others in our workplace. Now, we may not be people-pleasers. We may be sitting here thinking, well, this is all well and good, talking about the difference that the gospel makes when relating to people. But have you met my colleague? Have you met the most prickly, attention-seeking, know-it-alls, complainers, moaners, the people who are so cold towards me no matter what I try and do? They really grind our gears. We struggle even just to have a normal conversation without it getting a bit frosty. You might think of Romans 12:18. Like, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And we might think, well, it would surely take a miracle for me to live peaceably with this person. And as far as it depends on me, I think I've done all that I can do. We might be at our wit's end with a colleague. It just seems like an awkward argument is inevitable whenever we cross paths. It's dealing with the difficult. The first thing that we have to do is pray, isn't it? We have to pray for God's strength to help us in working with this person, but also pray for their own well-being. We don't always know what's going on with people. Some folk might simply have so much going on in their personal life that being relatable at work is just so difficult for them. We have to pray for them. We have to remember that they are an eternal soul. That they are a sinner, just like us. We will have planks in our own eyes before we go out and grab the splinters from our others. It's worth us looking at those. I speak from experience when I say it's hard to be consistently praying for someone that we find difficult. To be praying for them and praying for their good, for them to flourish. And to not find ourselves caring a bit more about them. Finding maybe even that we love them. And no matter how unrelatable they are, how unreasonable they find themselves to be, we can still pray for them. And that's one of the most important ways to start. We start with prayer. But in the difficulty of the workplace, we might find some wisdom from Paul helpful when he instructs Timothy, have nothing to do with foolish or ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. It's 2 Timothy 2:23-25. Now, we might not have a choice but to work with a difficult person. We might try and set reasonable boundaries, but it could be really tough. So you start with prayer and maybe try, if we can, to identify some of those issues that difficult people might be having. Insecurities, perfectionism, wanting to keep work and normal life separate and therefore being so cold whenever any personal thing comes up. We can try and learn to manage our own frustrations and irritations. We can try and set some boundaries if we can. We can be alert to those who are just causing trouble for the sake of it. And when appropriate, if necessary, we can involve others as well. It's some thoughts on just how the gospel helps us in relating to people. How Jesus relates to us shapes how we relate to those in our workplace. Relating well to others is a good thing. It doesn't do to be over-relatable and to not stand for anything. We don't want to be maybe like Lyndon Johnson and completely superficial rather than sincere. It's a good thing to do if we ask, what does it mean for us to live as if we care what people think about Jesus? We don't want to be people pleasers. We want God's help in dealing with difficult people. In our leadership roles, in our managing and leading of teams, we want to take the attitude of a servant as we go and point people to Jesus and stand out in that way. It doesn't mean being a doormat. It means letting the gospel affect us as we relate to people. Really happy to have any thoughts, comments, and questions on these things. If you're on Zoom, why don't you put a suggestion in the chat box. Jing will read that out and I'll repeat it on the microphone. I'll repeat what folks say in the room as well on the microphone. But I'm aware, lots of experience in the room, lots of experience on Zoom, relating to people, and how does the gospel help us relate? Would love to hear thoughts, comments, questions.